Amen? There's sometimes we just walk through some things. But the point of that is to walk through it. Don't camp there. Don't set up camp. Don't put out a mailbox. Just walk on through it. Hallelujah. Because he's still God. He's still God. And he will not fail you. He's still God and he doesn't change. Hallelujah. He's still God and he's fighting for you. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Sometimes things hit us blindsided. Sometimes things happen and we don't see them coming. And sometimes it knocks a little wind out of your sail. Sometimes you get knocked down, but the scripture says we're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. Hallelujah. There's some things that sometimes will knock you down, but they don't have to knock you out. We might get cast down sometimes. But David began to talk to himself. The psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you discomfited? Hope thou, your hope's in the Lord." And you know that you've heard it here many times that a cast down sheep is a sheep that gets down on its back with its all fours feet sticking up in the air, and they can't get up unless they got some help. Hallelujah. But one of the demonstrations is the shepherd literally will straddle the sheep, and he'll lift the sheep back up and put them back on your feet. You ever got knocked down and had all four feet sticking up in the air? Well, probably some of you in the natural, but I'm talking about more in the spirit. Sometimes you get knocked down, feels like you get the wind knocked out of your sails. Amen? But aren't you thankful for the shepherd that knows how to take care of a cast down sheep? Because without assistance, the cast down sheep will literally lay there and die. But the shepherd has the ability to come along, lift you up, put you back on your feet, and get you back where you need to be. Amen? Hallelujah. But the psalmist's trick to that, the secret was that, he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you discomforted? Hope in the Lord." Your hope is in the Lord. Hallelujah. So as he began to change his mind frame, he had to just do a little talking to himself. Y'all are quiet this morning. He had to do a little talking to himself. You know you talk to yourself. All the time, every day. Thank you. Yeah. Sometimes you got to give yourself a good talking to. I say all the time, you got to talk to somebody at least on your level of intelligence, right? So at least if you're talking to yourself, you're talking to somebody at least that understands you, I think. As long as you don't say, huh. Sometimes I don't understand me, so I don't know if that's true or not, but I want to get started this morning in the Word. If Jamie can bring up John 1, 29, and I'm going to go to verse 34. But last Sunday, we started talking about show me the sacrifice. And we started talking about the lamb. And I want to do, I think, a couple sermons at least on the lamb here as we're coming into this season of recognition of what we call the Easter season. It's spring. It's the season of Lent, and a lot of our fellow churches and things like that. So we begin to observe and begin to think about the coming of Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday, the Palm Sunday, and then Good Friday, and then of course the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Amen. And as beautiful and as wonderful as Christmas is, and the coming of the Emmanuel, God with us, and God comes to live in human form in us, through us, among us, how many are thankful that he's not just a God among us, he's a God in us. An Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. And as beautiful and as profound and as how amazing that is, how many know it's just the beginning to the end of something incredible, which again brings a new beginning, right? We know with Easter comes not even just the death, the burial, but the resurrection of the Lord. So as much as we acknowledge and we reference and we look at the cross, how many are thankful for the cross this morning? Hallelujah, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful that there's power in the blood. I have to think of Tom this morning, Tommy Howes, that was his song. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen? And if you tried to sing that, he would say, "Hey, that my song." He didn't want anybody else to sing that song because that was Tom's song that he liked to sing. And I also thought of the song my dad used to quote it a good bit, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sang about the fount this morning. We sung about the wells. But aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus this morning? That there truly is power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the sacrifice. And so last Sunday we talked about Abraham. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac and how God spoke to Abraham and he said, take your son, your only son, to the Mount of Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And, you know, several people discussed and said, you know what, if that had been the Lord saying that to me, I don't know that I could have been obedient in that. Amen? I'm sure that when he left the tent of Sarah, either she didn't know what was happening or she's fasting and praying or something. I mean, no, it's, you know, when God begins to speak something, and what's kind of crazy, funny about the story is it seems very contrary to what God had spoken in the promise. I mean, no, God never required Isaac as a sacrifice. He only required Abraham's obedience. And we talked about in the story of Abraham and Isaac, the title of my sermon last week was Show Me the Sacrifice. Now, so many times what we've wanted to do was make the sons the sacrifice. And we've had the wood and the fire, and we comprehend that. We know what to do with wood and fire. We know how to dangle them over hell sometimes. We know how to, you know, make them the sacrifice. But Isaac looked at his father. I mean, there are sons crying out to the father and saying, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? People all over our country, all over our world, looking for a sacrifice. Looking for the real deal, looking for the blood that can take away. I'm not the sacrifice, but there is a sacrifice. And so what Abraham's duty as a father, he looked at Isaac even when he did not understand, and he said, son, God will provide himself. God will provide himself as a sacrifice. God will provide himself as a ram. And when they look up, the fathers were able to point to Isaac and say, there's a ram caught in the thicket. There's a lamb that's wrapped up in thorns. And we know it's a picture of Jesus. When he goes to the cross, he is the perfect lamb of sacrifice. He wears the crown of thorns to the cross, which signifies that he puts the curse in reverse, that no longer do we have to live under the curse or the sin of Adam, but the lamb of sacrifice has been sacrificed for us. And literally, they said the place of the cross was in the same region of Mount Moriah where Abraham takes Isaac to the mountain. He points to a day and says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Aren't you thankful this morning that God provided himself a sacrifice? And so when John is on the shore of Jordan and he is baptizing and he's preaching a message, he said, I'm not he. I'm not the one. But I have been sent to prepare the way, to make way for the one who is to come. I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one coming who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. And he said, the one who told me to baptize with water said, when you see the Spirit descend on him in the form of a dove, you'll know that that's the one whom I've called. And John said, and then I must decrease, and he must increase. John 1:29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a powerful statement that John makes as Jesus walks up that day on the shore of Jordan. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. How many of John up to this point has been preaching about repent and be baptized for the remissions of your sins? But when Jesus walks onto the shore, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away not just your sin, but the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Next verse. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. He says, I knew him not. and he was before me. How many know there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world? It's what the scripture tells us. And he said, I knew him not. And I kind of love this connection when John and Jesus come onto the shore of Jordan, because it doesn't really tell us they've had any connection. What's the last connection you know of that John and Jesus have a connection? They're still in the womb, right? But the scripture said when Mary finds out that she's with child, she's been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. What's the first thing she does? The angel says to her, and you know your cousin Elizabeth, she's with child also. How about that? Elizabeth, who could not have a child, is with child also. And this is about the 6th month with her. And the scripture says, and Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And you know, I love that picture, because there's sometimes when God starts to say some things to you, and God starts to speak some supernatural, and you don't know how it's going to happen, and you don't even know if it can happen, but you got to find somebody to connect yourself with that's believing God for the same thing you're believing, that's seeing something, hearing something from God, and it maybe seems a little out there, but you know God spoke it. You know God has deposited something in your heart, and Mary saddles up or does whatever she's got to do, and she goes to meet Elizabeth. She's got to find out, Elizabeth, is it true that you've had a visitation also? Could it be that God's doing the same thing in you, Elizabeth, that he's doing inside of me? And she comes to the house, and the scripture says, and at the sound of the salutation of Mary, Elizabeth said, the baby leaped in my womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she says, behold, the mother of my Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, there was a connection in the womb before Jesus and John ever knew each other. But there's something, we talked about this last week, there's something about those two forces coming together, right? I mean, know when those two, when we talked about, what was the name that they called John? Do you remember? Thunder in the desert? Remember we talked about thunder in the desert? How do you get thunder? When two forces come together, right? You got hot and cold, and they kind of bang into each other. No, it's not God bowling or the angels bowling up there. It really is, you know, the heavens coming together, and it's the cold in front. It's a cold front and a warm front, right, that come together, and you get lightning and thunder. And what happens is when they come together, energy is discharged. And when energy is discharged, you get thunder and lightning. Hallelujah. I mean, when Jesus and John came together, still in the wombs of their mamas, something was so powerful and so supercharged that the scripture says Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. Hallelujah. And is filled with the Holy Ghost. And they realize that something supernatural was taking place in the earth. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for some thunder in the desert sometimes when there's a forces come together? How many know the old and new covenant are coming together? In the person, when Jesus, when John gets ready to baptize Jesus, they come together, and two powerful forces collide into each other. And once again, we see the supernatural happen. The heavens open, and the Spirit of God descends in the form of the dove. And the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Go to Hebrews 9 for me, if you can. Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. John says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an and a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How many know he was the greater sacrifice? Hebrews is all about greater things. Better things, better covenant, better sacrifice, better high priest, better tabernacle, all of those things, better, better, better. Jesus becomes our high priest and becomes our sacrifice. Go to Exodus chapter 12 this morning, and that's where I want to take my text. And again, we're talking about the Lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, we see the stage is set. And the children of Israel are in bondage to Pharaoh. They're in Egypt. They're making bricks. They're working as slaves. And they're in bondage to Egypt and to Pharaoh. They're slaves there. Amen? Now, I got a revelation of this last night in the car because Elliot, my grandson, he gave me a whole story on how Pharaoh said no, no to God. But Moses said, let my people go. And that the blood got in the water and they couldn't drink the water. And David slung the slingshot and he hit him in the head. And he had two stories going together. But David was a hero and Moses was a hero by the end. And so he was telling me all about let my people go. And what's his other line? And David says, and the battle is the Lord's. So we're at the Chinese restaurant last night, and Dave and Morgan are with us, and Elliot's there, and he's telling us that. So he's telling his poppy this story, and the battle is the woods. And Dan said, yeah, and if your pappy Jack would be here, his head be jerking about right now. Because that boy was preaching it down the line, and he was just telling us this story. It was so precious. But so he was telling us all about Pharaoh last night. So, you know, when preachers get up and they steal somebody's other stuff, you have to tell at least one time, I got this from Elliot, so I'll give Elliot credit this morning for, but anyway, you know that they're in bondage in Egypt to Pharaoh, and they're making bricks, and God sends Moses, calls Moses out of the burning bush, calls him out of the place, he said, the place where you're standing right now, Moses, is holy ground, and I don't think it's so much about the land where he was standing on, but the place, or the time or the moment in his life right now. This is your holy ground moment, Moses. Because you don't think you have the ability. You don't think you have the opportunity. You don't think you're articulate enough to do what I'm about to call you to do. But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I'm going to call you and I'm going to raise you up. And I'm going to make you deliver out of Israel. Yeah. To Israel. And I'm going to call you and I'm going to send you back from the very place that you ran from. I'm going to send you back to be a deliverer. And he sends him back. And you know how it goes. He brings the plagues, all the different plagues. And every time Pharaoh says no and his heart's hardened, he's not going to send him out. And finally, the final plague is he's going to do the death of the firstborn. But it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a what? A lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. I want you to know this morning there's a lamb for your house. If I was going to title my sermon this morning, it'd be called There's a Lamb for That. You know the popular thing right now is there's an app for that. Everything you need to find on the internet, there's an app for that, right? So I want you to know this morning there's a lamb for that. There's a lamb for every house. He said, I want you to take a lamb for the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head, his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Everybody say entrails. Thereof. Verse 10. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever, hence the Passover feast. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month of the 14th day of the month, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of that of you shall go out at the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. You can stop there for now, James. But how many of the scripture says he begins to tell them, I'm going to get ready to deliver you out of Egypt. And when the death angel passes over, he's going to see the blood on the doorpost, and he will what? Pass over you, right? So we see that he tells them first he said you have to take a lamb, and you have to take a lamb for every house, and you've got to take the lamb into the house, and you've got to roast the lamb. Don't soak it down with water. Don't eat it raw. Don't leave any of it that you don't consume. Consume the lamb, and if there's any left over, then you're supposed to burn it with fire. And he says, and then I want you to do it with your staff in your hand, your shoes on your feet, your jackets on, in preparation for the exodus that we're about to do out of Egypt. Not only do I want you to eat the lamb, not only do I want you to be dressed and prepared, but I want you to take the blood of the lamb, and I want you to take hyssop, and I want you to put it on the doorpost, and I want you to make a symbol on the doorpost. I want the blood applied to the door of your house. Because when the death angel passes over, it's not going to pass over and say that there, he's not going to stop there. What he's going to see is there's already been a death executed. There's already been a death that's happening, so I can pass over this household because I already see the sign of the blood. Aren't you glad this morning that the sign of the blood has already been applied to the doorpost of your house, which says there's already been a death in the house? Hallelujah. And the death angel passes over. Yep. So he says, take the lamb in the house. Don't water it down. Don't leave any of it that you don't eat. How many know we have to eat the whole lamb? Eat mo lamb. Hallelujah. Eat more lamb. We have to eat the whole lamb and not watered down lamb, not raw, not any, and not just the pieces that we want to. I mean, you know, it's really tempting to just eat the pieces of the scripture or the word of the gospel that fits your culture or that fits your lifestyle or that fits where you are. You just want to eat what part, you know, satisfies you for a little bit, but it ain't going to hold you for the long run. I mean, you know, you, when Elijah, when they said to Elijah, rise and eat, and he got up and he ate a little bit, and he said, no, eat some more because the journey ahead of you is long, and you're going to need preparation for the journey. I mean, you know, sometimes we get just enough of a taste of something to satisfy our craving, but not enough to fill our bellies, and not enough to really fill us with what needs to sustain us for the journey that's ahead. Hallelujah. So he said, I want you to take the lamb in the house, and I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. I want you to understand there's already been a death executed for you. I want you to know you got to have the lamb in your house. And he says that when you get ready to eat it, do it in preparation because God's about to move you out of where you are. Hallelujah. So he said, go ahead and put your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, your cloak on. I mean, the scripture gives us definition for the whole armor of God that we put on. And how many know really what that does? It's not that we got up this morning. Anybody get up and put your shield on or your breastplate? Yeah, no, no. We didn't physically put anything on, did we, today? Because I really wasn't planning on doing any battle. Right? Number one, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. To the pulling down of strongholds. How many know the things that we battle the most with is our stinking thinking? Spiritual wickedness in high places, it's our mind that we fight with the most. How many know there's a preparation in preparing yourself and equipping yourself? You got to prepare your mind. You got to prepare your heart. You got to prepare your loins. You got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to have your staff in your hand. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you out of this place. I'm going to bring you out of bondage. I'm going to bring you out of slavery. I'm going to bring you out from among the plagues. I'm going to bring you out from everything that has been contrary to who you are. I'm going to move you into a place of rest. I'm going to take you into a promised land. But the only thing that's able to do that is a lamb in the house and the blood on the doorpost. Hallelujah. The only thing that can take you out of where you are and take you into the promised land rest, the finished work of what Jesus has provided for you, is to understand the lamb in the house and the blood on the doorpost. We just read that he was the lamb of sacrifice who takes away the sin of the world. We understand who the lamb is today, right? Hallelujah. How many can say the lamb has been instrumental of bringing you out of bondage and setting you free from where you were? Hallelujah. There's a lamb for that. And it said, I want you to take the lamb. There's a lamb for every house. And he said, and when you take the lamb in the house and you put the blood on the doorpost, I'm going to rebuke the destroyer. I'm going to rebuke the destroyer from your house. I'm going to rebuke death from your house. And I'm going to pass over you. Hallelujah. So my thought this morning is, you know, as we are in life in general, how many know people that are in Egypt, that are in bondage? People that are struggling in slavery or struggling to have the freedom that they can have in Christ. The only answer to that is the lamb in the house and the blood applied. How many can remember the day when the blood was applied to your heart? When the lamb came into the house. And when you begin to have an understanding of who Christ is in you. I told you the story before. I used to sing that song down in Hennis Fox's church. There at the cross was the blood of Clyde. Glory to his name. You know that song, that hymn? I thought it said the blood of Clyde. It said the blood applied. And so I grew up with the songbook Revelation trying to figure out how Clyde fit into the scriptures and who this Clyde was. The only Clyde I knew of was in that, what's the movie where Clyde is the orangutan? Every which way but loose. Hallelujah. And so I can remember standing up on the pews and standing up as just a little girl singing my heart out, singing, "Down at the cross was the blood of Clyde. Glory to his name. Glory to his name." And I would sing that song. But how many know sometimes we get a songbook revelation? And I never did figure out who Clyde was. But I did figure out what it meant when the blood was applied to the doorpost of my heart. Amen. And I got to tell you, I wasn't delivered out of a whole lot of bondage and slavery at the time, because I came to Jesus as just a young girl. So I wasn't delivered out of a bunch of junk. Amen. But I was delivered out of a household that was delivered out of a bunch of junk. And you know, you can talk about religion and you can talk about doctrines and you can talk about people's backgrounds and all of those kind of things. But the common denominator and the common factor has to be the blood. Because can I just tell you this morning, we didn't know everything about the gospel. We didn't know about lamb that was sacrificed. We didn't know about theology and doctrines and end time revelations and Greek and Hebrew. We didn't understand all of that. All we knew was we needed a Savior. We needed Jesus. Hallelujah. And so that when God passed over our house, and when the lamb came into our house, and the blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintels of our house, there was a lamb in the house. And from that point on, whatever we were struggling with in the house, it was a lamb for that. Amen? There was a lamb for that. We didn't know how to be delivered from stuff, but the Holy Ghost did. We didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. We didn't even know what a lot of that stuff was. But how many know when God begins to speak to your heart and he begins to draw you and he begins to woo you and you begin to feel that drawing presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? How many know the purpose of God in your life, the lamb in the house and the blood of the doorpost, is to keep you from or deliver you out of bondage and slavery? How many believe that the blood can keep you out of bondage and slavery? But here's the good news. If you're in bondage and slavery, he can deliver you out of it. The recognition is there's a higher power than me. There is a blood that has power. There is a life that's lived now through me, that it's not me, but it's the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the life of God inside of us that lives through you, that gives you the strength, that gives you the empowerment to live the spirit-filled life, the victorious life. How many want to live in victory? Hallelujah. I don't want to have one more valley, one more hill. One more trial, one more, my dad used to say spill, but it was tear. One more trial, one more tear. And we sometimes, look at life as weary pilgrims passing through. But I want you to know this morning, the scripture says you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, and that we are empowered by God, and everything that he has inherited, we are heirs according to the promise of God, and that we need to quit settling out of court for stuff and start saying, no, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the good life is ours. He will come that we might have life and have it more abundant. How many are ready to live an abundant life? Hallelujah. And so they said, take the lamb in the house. You got to have the lamb in the house. You got to have the blood on the doorpost. And you got to have your staff in your hand. You got to be in preparation. Set your mind for leaving Egypt. Set your mind for leaving Egypt. Now, what's going to take you out of Egypt? What's going to take you out of Egypt? It's the lamb in the house. Whatever has plagued you in your life, there's a lamb for that. Can I say it like that this morning? Whatever has plagued you in your life, there's a lamb for that. Bondage. If you're living in bondage, there's a lamb for that. If you're being plagued by stuff, there's a lamb for that. How many know Pharaoh spoke and said to Shiphrah and Puah, when the male babies are born, I want you to kill their male babies because they're becoming more powerful than we are. But how many are thankful for Hebrew midwives or mamas that'll stand up and say, no, Pharaoh, you're not taking our babies. They began to say no, they weren't going to do it. The scripture said, and they increased and they made their house's destinies. Is that what I want to say? Dynasties. That's what I want to say. Close. It's close, yeah. That's a D word. They made their houses prosperous because they stood up for what they believe and said, no, Pharaoh, you're not getting our babies. No, Pharaoh, you will not destroy our nation. How many know there's sometimes you got to say no to some things in your life? You got to say no to some bondage. You got to say no to some things that are plaguing you. You got to say no to some things that are not profitable to you. How many know there's things in our natural physical life sometimes that if we would really say no to them, we would see an increase in our health and in our life and in our energy and all of those kind of things. But how many know it takes strength sometimes to say no? And it may not be something that a big thing that you're struggling with, but how many know sometimes you just have to have the strength to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to partake of that or whatever it is. How many know the Lamb will give you strength? Amen? The Lamb can help you through that. It will keep you, if you stay in Egypt, it'll cause you to lose sight of your Red Sea baptism. But there's a Lamb for that. The Lamb that'll take you through the Red Sea. It'll give you manna in the wilderness. It'll take you into the Promised Land. Hallelujah. And it'll rebuke the destroyer from your house. Now, I've told you before, there's been times in our life and in our marriage, even though it wasn't 50 years, it's only 36 years. That in my house and with our children and our whatever, that we've prayed over our house. We've prayed over the doorpost of our house. We've anointed the doorpost of our house, anointed their shoes, anointed our kids when they were sick or whatever. And we prayed over them and said, the blood of Jesus is applied to this house. The Lamb is in the house, and I rebuke the destroyer from this house in Jesus' name. Amen. How many believe you have the power to do that? You have the power to pray that prayer. He said, I'm going to give you all a key. I'm going to tell you how to get out of Egypt. I'm going to tell you how to get out of bondage. You put the Lamb in the house and you put the blood on the doorpost. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to make you want to rise up in the middle of the night, put your shoes on, get your staff in your hand and say, I am not living like this anymore. I'm not resigning where I'm at. I'm tired of bondage. I'm tired of slavery. I'm tired of making bricks for the Egyptians. I'm going to stand up in this house. I'm going to declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're coming out of this place. We're coming out with a high hand. We're not coming out broke, and we're going to cross over some things that have been obstacles to us, and I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and I will walk in the promises of God and in a promised land that was set ahead for us in Jesus' name. I mean, sometimes you got to stand up and be a priest over your house. Amen? And pray over them. Anoint your kids. Anoint your doorpost. Anoint your trucks. Anoint your vehicles. Whatever it is it's got to do. But how many know it calls us to focus on, you know, it's not up to me, but it's up to God. Hallelujah. Pray over their vehicles. Pray over their shoes. It don't matter what it is. But we stand in a place where we say, you know what? We got a Lamb in this house. And as for me and my house, Joshua stood and declared, said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. You make a choice. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe you can make that declaration over your generations and over your seed? Hallelujah. And hear them begin to express the goodness of God and see God begin to work in their life. Amen. I told you the other Sunday that Carolina told Terry, there's people in here we need to pray for this morning. They got belly aches. And she made Terry take her around to pray over people in the congregation that had belly aches. Now, you might think she make that up. It don't really matter to me. But if you had a belly ache, you'd be glad somebody had a revelation to come and pray for you because you had a belly ache. Amen? But here's my cry. Lord, make me sensitive enough that I'm not worried about what song's being sung or who's going to look at me, but I can look around and say, you know what? Somebody got bellyache this morning. I'm going to pray and believe God that God touches them, because I believe God will speak to them from the beginning. And I believe God can anoint our kids and our children, and if we'll be sensitive to that and pour into them the lamb, a lamb in the house. I mean, no, it's a lamb in this house, not just a lamb at your structural house, but it's a lamb in this house. It's the blood that's applied to the doorpost of my heart. It's the deliverance that we receive through the blood. That when things come our way, it can say, you know what? The lamb's in the house, the blood's on the doorpost, and I got my staff in my hand. I'm ready for an exodus out of place. I've been out of this place. I've been here too long. How many know they stayed way longer than they should have ever stayed in Egypt? Because it was not their land of promise. To the point that Joseph said, when you come up out of here, God is going to deliver you out of this place. And when he does, don't leave my bones here. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take me with you. I want to be a part of the promise. I might not see it with my flesh, but I will see it with my eyes. My generations will see it. Because somebody started something that said, this is not your land, this is not your home, this is not where you need to reside, but God wants to take you to a land that flows of milk and honey. I believe our lives can be a representation of that. And I believe just as Moses was a mediator, and just as Moses was a leader and said, get your shoes on, get your staff in your hand, get the lamb in the house, and put the blood on the doorpost, because we're coming out of here. Hallelujah. We're leaving this place of bondage, leaving this place of captivity, because God has something new for us. And how many know God brought them into a land of promise, a land that flowed with milk and honey? Bring me up the last scripture there, Jamie, which I think is 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, what? Our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When we do an observance and we take communion, and we partake of the bread and of the wine, and of his body, we are signifying his death, his burial, his resurrection, his death being the bread, his life being the wine that we partake of. Hallelujah. And we don't do it because we think that bread or that juice is going to change us. It's the recognition of his body that was broken for us. That when he sat down with his disciples, he said, guys, look at me. This is my body, which was broken for you. Take and eat it. This is my blood, which is shed for you. I'm not going to eat or drink again with you until I do it again in the kingdom of heaven. And all the disciples begin to be distraught, and they begin to wonder who was going to betray him. And Peter says, I don't know, John, ask him, who's going to be the one to betray him? And the answer is all of them really walked away from him in fear, afraid. They left. And Peter says, stands up finally, and he says, Lord, I'll go to the cross with you. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And our King James Bible ends chapter 13 right there. But in John 14, the verse says, but don't let your heart be troubled. I love that. And don't be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me, because in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, Peter, that where I am, there you may be also. And that place starts with a place called Calvary, with the sacrifice of a spotless lamb and blood that's applied. Hallelujah. Down at the cross was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. So when we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we are observing his body, the sacrifice that was given for us, because the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hallelujah. How many are thankful that as far as the east is from the west, he remembers your sins no more. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning.